Hey, Sandy Rios here. So nice to talk to you again this very blessed day. And of course, not necessarily blessed in our world. Bruce and I are going to talk today about a number of things, but it's going to be mostly about some of the statements made by Tucker Carlson and others at Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA meeting over this past weekend in Florida. You know, I love Charlie Kirk. I love Tucker Carlson. I love Steve Bannon. These are guys I know. I've known them for years. It's not just them, but there were a number of great speakers at this conference. Pete Hegseth was there, and Kristi Noem. Steve Bannon was there, and Donald Trump Jr., and also Megyn Kelly. Matt Gaetz was there, Laura Ingraham, and I could go on and on because it's a very long list. And I didn't get to hear all of it, obviously, because I was not there. But I heard some things that I think you need to hear because they're getting into the DNA of our world. Plus, Turning Point USA has the most effective ministry to young people now. And there were thousands, I don't know how many thousands, but there were thousands of young people at this conference, and they heard these things. And so some of them are your children, your nieces and nephews, and then also many of them you already know. You've heard some of this as it's made its way into the public view. This whole business over Epstein, the dust up, Dan Bongino, Cash Patel, allegedly, you know, piling in on Pam Bondi about not revealing all the details on Epstein. That was a big part of the conversation. And I think we should probably say a word about that today, Bruce and I, just to help you think as we try to think through what all this means. And that's what we're going to do today. But first, since Roe versus Wade was overturned, 105 abortion clinics have shut down. But that doesn't mean the women disappeared. They're still searching, now more desperate than ever. And Planned Parenthood is racing to fill the gap. But we can get there first with compassion, with truth, with life. Where 105 abortion clinics once ended life, Preborn is claiming that ground by installing 105 ultrasound machines that speak louder than fear and show mothers the miracle of life. Like with Emily, who was abortion-bound and scared. But when she heard her baby's heartbeat on a Preborn ultrasound, she broke down in tears and whispered, "I didn't know she was real." That moment changed her entire life and the life of her baby. Each ultrasound machine costs $15,000, but every single gift makes a difference and saves lives. Just $28 provides a life-saving ultrasound to one abortion-vulnerable mom and doubles the chance that she chooses life. This is our moment to stand in the gap. If you would like to help, and I know you would because many of you already do, go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. Well, this is Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. You can call us at 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. You can find the podcast on any social media platform. You can find it on my website, which is sandyrios.com. If you're not used to podcasting, that's an easy way to listen. But you can also find it on our home base, which is AmericanFamilyRadio.net. That's AFR.net. And all podcast platforms, if you are a regular podcaster and understand all of that. All right, well, Bruce is going to join me, and we're going to talk a lot about Tucker Carlson's comments at Charlie's TPUSA conference this past weekend. Also, there's a really interesting clip from Tom Holman that we'll play for you. There's a little humor in there, a little humor inserted. And we'll be talking about Epstein. We'll be talking about Iran. And you're going to find it helpful as you try to make your way through these confusing times on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Why should I be embarrassed to ask what's in this war for us? We got to go to war. Shut up. You're a bigot if you don't want it. First of all, I'm not a bigot. But second, that's kind of not the point. The point is, what's in it for us? Why is this a good idea? Shut up. And it's exactly the style of argument that I voted against, and I will never accept it. I don't care who does it. I will never accept that. Give me a legitimate answer, a reasonable answer, a sincere answer, a good faith answer. We may disagree. You may say, as a good friend of mine who's like totally deranged, but a good person said to me yesterday, Iran is the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. You know, reading the talking point that apparently everyone, a bumper sticker that is for sale somewhere, I guess. And I'm like, okay, I don't even know what that means exactly, but how many Americans have been killed by Shia terrorism in my lifetime, which is 56 years? I can't think of any. I'm sure there have been some in the United States. There have been Shia terror attacks sponsored by Iran in the U.S. I can't think of any. There was 9/11. That was a Sunni terror attack. And then there's the drug epidemic, which has killed more than 1 million people during that same period. People I know, my next door neighbor's kid, dead. People, a bunch of people I know have died. And a bunch have been totally screwed up and taken out of life, basically. Their lives have been hollowed out. They're husks. They've been totally destroyed by drugs. That's the reality that I live in the United States. So you're telling me Iran is a bigger threat than the people peddling this garbage? I don't think so. Not where I live, it's not. Oh, shut up. And the person literally said, you know, we're going to have to agree to disagree. Disagree with what? What are you even talking about?
Sandy Rios with you on Sandy Rios 24/7. Well, that's my once friend Tucker Carlson, who really has become such a strong voice for all things good. Just a clear mind, clear thinking, a great communicating leader to all of us. Speaking to thousands of young people at the Turning Point USA conference over the weekend in Florida. And this is what the kids heard, thousands of them. So I have to talk about this because there are so many flaws in this once logical guy. There are huge gaps right now. And we're going to bring many of those to you today, plus some other things. But first of all, I'll just redress this one. What's in this war for us, he asks. Now, I would maintain that he's not listening to the answers. He disregards every person that he disagrees with on this. Because trust me, there are reasons why the bombing in Iran, which could have led to more conflict, it hasn't so far, was for us. Iran, and you've heard me say this at this mic, I'm not going to repeat everything, has been at war with us since 1979, I believe it was 79. And they have never wavered from that. That's when the Ayatollahs took over in Iran. They practice Muslim Shia. They're Shia Muslims. And so they have hated us ever since. They've called us the Great Satan since that time and made it clear they were out to destroy us. I'll tell you now. Some of the clerics have what is a $30 or $40 billion ransom on Trump's head, on him being killed. One of them is calling for his head to be delivered. It's a $30 to $40 million bounty. What's in it for us, you say? And then he goes on to say that he mocks his friend. He says basically he's an idiot because he said Iran is the biggest supporter of terrorism in the world. Well, that's just a fact. Ask Russia. Ask the Europeans. Everybody knows this, Tucker. They fund Hezbollah. They fund the Houthis, who've been terrorizing all nations in that waterway far away from us here, but it's trade, global trade, all the ships passing through, including ours. And so they funded that. They also funded and actually put a bounty on injuring as many American soldiers in the Iraq War as possible. They were the ones that paid for the IEDs and then paid to have American soldiers killed or maimed. So that was in Tucker's lifetime. I don't know what in the world he's talking about. He is untethered from the truth right now. And he closes that by saying that Iran is the biggest, and they're telling us Iran is the biggest threat, more than the drugs that are killing the kids. Now, you know, I want to illustrate what I'm talking about Tucker not listening. And he's becoming vitriolic towards mutual friends. And one of those mutual friends is Mark Levin. I've known Mark for years. Mark has done great things. He's written great books. He is profound. I have sat at a table in Congress with him, with congressional members, and while he gave them the most rousing encouragement and called them out for so many things that they were not doing. This is a number of years ago. It's different issues, but same but different. This is the cowardice among Republicans at that time. He's bold and he's almost always right. Almost always right. Okay, so this is what Tucker on a different outlet said about Mark. This is clip six.
Was this fraught with like existential peril? Of course. I'm so grateful that he brought it in for a landing. I mean, I think we should be grateful to him. I think we should be grateful to God. I think we should understand how close we came. But I also think we should step back and ponder what we've learned. And what we've learned is who cares about the fortunes of the United States and who doesn't. And Ted Cruz doesn't, obviously. The people who acknowledge no risk at all because they were so focused on helping another country, like Ted Cruz or like, you know, the many people who revealed themselves in the last 2 weeks, Mark Levin, chief among them, like those people should not have any access to power at all. Those people rolled the dice with your life and with the lives of your children. It's disgusting. And so, I mean, just ask yourself, is Mark Levin concerned at all about the United States, like at all? And the answer is no. Mark Levin is a repulsive ghoul whose entire sex life consists of watching other people get blown up. He was upset that there was a ceasefire and said so. How could you be upset with a ceasefire? How could you be upset that people are no longer dying? By the way, I think the ceasefire is real. We have no idea where anything goes in life. That's up to God. But as of right now, it's absolutely real, and we should be thankful for it. And so if your first instinct is this is bad, then you've just told us who you are. And look, that's between Mark Levin and God, and I think it's going to be a tough conversation. But for our purposes, you know, Mark Levin should not have access to power. I mean, he almost pushed the president of the United States into a path that would have destroyed the presidency and the United States.
Okay. So, Bruce, you want to take that one? I mean, really, Mark Levin is the gold standard. He's been around longer than Tucker, and he has a better track record than Tucker. But nevertheless, your thoughts about what he said.
All right. Well, without even going to exactly his comment, about Mark Levin, just think what he said about President Trump, that Tucker is positing that Mark Levin could persuade Donald Trump to enter into a war. I think that's a very flawed premise right on his face. No one's going to single-handedly convince Donald Trump that he has to get into a war. And I think his actions during this whole intervention that has taken place in Iran shows that he is actually doing everything. I totally disagree with the premise that Tucker Carlson seems to be going down with this whole thought process of his about what the threats are in the world. You know, we have a large world, and when you deal with threats, you put them into a matrix. That's just a fancy word for a ranking. And there are all kinds of rankings that are all kinds of threats that need to be ranked. That's domestic threats, international threats, threats to our allies, threats to our coalitions. And Tucker makes it sound like our entire government is rushing to go into a war with Russia, with Iran, with China. And I don't see any evidence of that. If anything, I see evidence to the contrary that Donald Trump is taking a very measured approach to all of these problems and is sending in things like when he did the strike with the B-2 bombers on the Iranian nuclear program. That was a measured response. And we certainly had given Iran all the time they needed to come to the negotiating table to stop that. How many leaders give a country that shouts for their death, gives them 7 weeks to come to a table and negotiate?
Well, the thing of it is, too, Tucker's whole It sounds like Marjorie Taylor Greene. Now, on a different show, I played a clip where she said, were we worried about the Houthis? The Houthis aren't hurting me. I don't see any Houthis down here in Georgia. And this is the same point that Tucker's making. No Iran Shia in my life has ever hurt an American. And that's just, well, that's not true, first of all.
Well, yeah.
I'm so disappointed in him. To make this, not be able to make the connection that we need to stop the evil actors in this world who are a danger to us, and that would be, eventually could be Russia, certainly it's China right now, and it absolutely is Iran, just because past presidents haven't done anything in response and have just kicked it down the road. Obama himself sent them billions of dollars to help their endeavor. So it's just not realistic. I always say he's either really ignorant or there's something else going on. And I don't want to do what he's doing. What he called Mark Levin there was disgusting. And yep. That discredits his argument. That in itself discredits it.
And, you know, we don't want to make this just a personal thing regarding Tucker Carlson. But I will say, this is the one thing I'm going to say, if you want to get into a personal standpoint. My impression of Tucker over the years has always been that he has always been known for his calmness, his easygoing demeanor. It really can laugh at many situations, not making fun of it, but just, you know, understanding that there are always going to be threats to the world, threats to our nation. And his entire demeanor sounds like it's taken a 180. His voice is shrill. He's lashing out. He's calling names. I mean, I cannot believe that he called Mark Levin a ghoul.
A ghoul.
And that he said, you know, and talked about his sex life is watching people go to war, and that he says that Ted Cruz should be nowhere near the levers of power. I mean, I don't understand that. My observations of Ted Cruz over the years is he's been as steady a person as you can get when it comes to tough issues, and he's not afraid to take a stance. But I don't see him as a warmonger or anything of that nature.
Well, I'll tell you something, Ted. When we were still in D.C., Bruce, Ted led the charge against this IOPCA, something like that, whatever it was. It was the deal that Obama had made with Iran. This pact. This peace pact. Of course, Iran was sneaking them weapons, sneaking them billions of dollars. It was horrific. And it was Ted Cruz who called that out. And it was Ted Cruz, in spite of the fact he was running for president at the time, and I was all about him being president, and Donald Trump was his opponent, and Donald Trump was not being kind to Ted Cruz, if you recall.
No, he was not.
But Ted actually brought him. There was a big rally in D.C. You and I both went to that rally. It was outdoors. And Ted was talking about stopping this agreement. And he invited his opponent in the presidential race to come stand on the platform with him and condemn this pact with Iran. And so Ted has been very involved in this, and he knows a ton. I'm sure he knows a ton more than Tucker knows. And I want to just play. This is what Tucker said after the bombing and after his debate with Ted that we played on the air here a couple of weeks ago, 10 days ago maybe. This is what he says about Ted.
I've got nothing against Ted Cruz personally. I feel sorry for Ted Cruz, obviously a totally hollow person taking instructions. But I do think we learned this is not someone who should be influencing wars, because he just doesn't know anything, he doesn't care, and he's not putting America's interests anywhere near the top of his priorities. And that's, you know, that, like, we saw that. It's on tape. And it's kind of hard to unsee it. So this is the moment to just draw a line and say, we can have all kinds of disagreements, and I'm sure that we will, over all kinds of things, including wars. But if you've shown that you just don't care what happens to the United States.
That's just ridiculous. We've played that tape over and over again. And I know I've known Ted Cruz for a long time. And I've known his work up close and personal. And it's just, and it calls him a totally hollow person. Taking instructions. This is the thing I'll say again. These kinds of personal insults discredit Tucker's position. And I'm The point I guess I'm trying to make, without hurting him personally, because I find myself worried about him actually, is that right now you can't listen to his opinions. They're not good opinions. They're not valid. They're not valid assessments because they're not based on good judgment. They're based on sometimes he's just overstating and understating and misstating. It's just I don't know what's he's never done that before to my knowledge. He's always been very honest.
Well, what concerns me is that he is drawing a comparison, that being Tucker drawing a comparison between the knowledge base that he has versus the knowledge base that Senator Ted Cruz has. No offense, but Ted Cruz is a senior senator in the United States Senate, and he has the top, you know, the highest security clearances there are. He's briefed in regularly on what is going on in the country, in the world, in our intelligence services. And no offense, but Tucker Carlson is a talk show host. He does not have a security clearance. And I have no doubt that he has tremendous sources. But, you know, sources come in many, many shapes and sizes. Some are really good, some are not so good. And, you know, one of the things that we do as people, as humans, is we fall in love sometimes with people that we want to believe versus people that maybe have the actual facts. And I don't know if Tucker is listening to the wrong people right now, but he is so spun up and so lashing out at so many people, and I don't understand where this is coming from.
Yeah, that's true, and we're going to make that point a little bit later. And I would say this to all of you, and this includes me. Anyone that you listen to and trust, you have to still use your minds, measure their words against what you know to be true. And sometimes, I've explained this before, even really great people, whether it's pastors or whoever, have blind spots. And so you kind of, if you can learn a person's blind spot or their, because of a personal experience in their life, they feel a certain way about something that you don't believe is accurate, you have to really be discerning. You can't take everybody, except Jesus, everybody's words. Now, I would say for myself, I'm just telling you, I really work hard to make sure that what I say is true. And sometimes I make mistakes on numbers and figures, and I don't ever want to even make a mistake. It's my goal not to. But I can tell you that I really do my best to faithfully tell you what's true. But if I ever don't do that, then it's your responsibility to call me out. And but this is a case of something you just need to be discerning. Now, I want to change. We're still going to go back to Tucker a little bit. But Bruce, this whole business about Epstein, Jeffrey Epstein. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about his past. He was a guy who ran a pedophile ring, really. That's my words. He had an island called Pedophile Island. And many of the most important figures or most famous people in this world went to that island. And it was I'll just tell you, I've seen photos from inside his mansion. He had a picture of babies over the dining table. I mean, they were into rough stuff. Bill Clinton was on a plane, his plane, going to the island several times. I think Hillary was on the manifest also. It's also the Prince Edward of England.
Andrew
of England was on that plane. And we know a lot about he actually lost his position with the royal family because of that. And we could go on and on. There are all kinds of people suspected. And so for years, this has been a big story online with people on social media. And it should be a story because if there's a huge pedophile ring, we need to find out. It needs to be broken. People need to be named and outed. Well, Pam Bondi promised when she came in that she would do that. She made some promises. It seemed like promises. She said she was going to release his little black book. That's not what she said, but the names of clients. And also that she was going to release things that they had. She also said at one point they were going through just enormous amount of videos, and they didn't want to. The dilemma was they didn't want to hurt the children. It was just very tedious. And then in the last month, let's just say, Kash Patel and Dan Bongino announced on Maria Bartiromo that Jeffrey Epstein did not kill himself. He didn't hang himself in his jail cell which many of us thought was a foregone conclusion, and we had good reason to think that. So that was a shocker. And then Pam Bondi came out last week at the Justice Department, made a statement that there is no client list, and they're going to—it's kind of the end of the road. So now there's a whole army, I would say, of conservative talkers who are just beside themselves, because now they're accusing the Justice Department and Pam Bondi, and I'd say that Dan is one of those, and Dan has been the most vocal critic. He's saying he won't, he's going to quit if President Trump doesn't fire Pam Bondi. We should talk about that just for a second, Bruce, before we go back to some of the things that Tucker said. You know, I've said to you, I know Dan well too. Here we go. I just think if you have a problem like that and you're in a position like that, you don't publicly state that you're going to resign if somebody, Trump doesn't fire somebody else. This is in-house stuff. This is the stuff that should, conversations that should be taking place behind closed doors, because that puts Pam Bondi in such a difficult position as Attorney General. She's already big time, because the Justice Department, by its very nature, all are going to hate her. She's swimming upstream. She doesn't need anything to discredit her and hurt her position at Justice. And Dan has done that. And I don't like that, Bruce. I don't know if you have anything more to say about that.
Well, all I can say is I did worry about Dan because, you know, being a Secret Service agent is one thing. You learn about chain of command and things of that nature. But he has been doing other things than being a government employee for a number of years now. And he has become very famous. He has ascended to a lifestyle that is very envious, actually, to many people. I mean, he lives down in Florida on a beautiful home. He has his family with him. He was working out of the house. He had a tremendous following. He became a celebrity, really. And when I heard that he was going back to become the deputy director of the FBI, I have to tell you, as much as I liked Dan's show and that, I kind of cringed, because you have to understand, number one, you are going into an absolute nutcracker back at FBI headquarters. You know, these people don't get to be in high positions in the FBI by being stupid. And if they're part of the deep state and you think you're going to just walk in, waltz in, and they're all going to, you know, lay down and leave and not resist you, you're living on another planet, because these people that were part of the deep state with the FBI have a lot to lose if the truth comes out, I think, about what was done in the 2016 election, the 2020 election. And don't think that they haven't laid a lot of traps for whoever's going to come hunting them. And, you know, Dan has gotten used to sort of running the show. He had his own network. He had people working for him. And when you go back into government service, now you are working for people. You've got a lot of people under you, but you are also under people. And one of them is Pam Bondi as the Attorney General. And I cannot believe the way he tried to, if this is true, if all this is true, what we're hearing, and some of this is speculation and some of it's there, but it's subject to interpretation. But if Dan actually put and maybe Cash also, put an ultimatum on the table that either Pam Bondi goes or they go, or Pam Bondi does certain things or they go, that is totally out of line. And as you say, Sandy, if that's happened, they've really tried to cut the legs out from under Pam Bondi. And I'll tell you, those things never end well.
Now, one thing, I'm pretty sure, Bruce, the sources are pretty confirmed that Dan Set has made that public. But I don't know about Cash. I think we need to put a caveat there. I do think this is, for what it's worth, I don't know if Pam is, I think there are scenarios under which you could explain what's happened here. She has a boss, too. And it could be that the files are so corrupted because they've tried to wipe these things out for years. It's been a long time that those so-called files have been there. And you can imagine that we know that they're trying to get rid of, they were for years trying, in fact, I talked about there being a shredder outside of Justice before President Trump took office. So we don't really know. But I think to jump to the fact that she's lying, because I've heard people say that, I don't really think she was lying. You might say she might be in over her head. That's possible. But she also might have another reason that we don't know. And I guess my fallback is on this issue, I think we have to trust the president. He knows about this. There must be a reason, or they would release all of that. It's not like Biden's administration. President Trump is actually doing things on behalf of the people. Close to a million things. Hundreds of things. And he's proving his mettle as a patriot. So if he knows about this and he is involved in this decision not to release it, I just say we got to give it some breathing space here.
Well, I'm with you, Sandy. And, you know, I do think that there is smoke and that there's fire where there's smoke regarding these files. I mean, obviously, Ghislaine Maxwell, who was Jeffrey Epstein's assistant, went to prison for transporting minor children across state lines to engage in lewd acts, amongst other things. She's still in a federal pen. So, I mean, we know that there were crimes committed. Now, there's been a lot of speculation coming from various sources that maybe Jeffrey Epstein had been recruited by the Mossad. And you think, what in the world would the Mossad want to recruit him for? But here would be the scenario. What is alleged is that on this island, this pedophile island, Jeffrey Epstein has had all kinds of celebrities and other people from other governments that have been at the island, and that he allegedly was taping them secretly, having sex often with minors. And that if we, as the Mossad as an intelligence agency, if they're looking to compromise somebody, that they may have recruited Jeffrey Epstein to try to go ahead and compromise someone or get the tapes of someone he has already compromised. That's not inconceivable by any means. And, you know, from what you just said, Sandy, we don't know where the pressure points are coming regarding releasing these files if they, in fact, are still in existence. And that's the other thing is I'm not sure Pam used the right words, Pam Bondi, when she said, I have the file on my desk. That may be true, but that doesn't mean she never said I have a list on my desk of his participants. So it's kind of become semantic because other people say, no,
I think so too.
No, the list is in there, yeah. You know, and as you said, the Trump administration is not the only administration that has had access to these files. And I will tell you that there are prominent Democrats, Bill Clinton and Hillary being amongst them, that are verified when it comes to Bill Clinton. I mean, we know the Secret Service logs even verified that he took trips there. And then they tried to, Clinton on certain occasions left behind his detail, his protection detail, when he went to the island. Now, why is he doing that? I don't know. People can speculate. I don't think it's for a good reason. So I do think there is proof that there are very, very high-level people that have gone to this island and probably participated in acts with children, younger people, underage people. I think we've had testimony from someone on Clinton's protection detail that they saw him on a plane with an underage person and that he asked to be released from the detail.
Yeah.
Because he just couldn't stand it to see what was going on.
I think we affirmatively can say this stuff really happened. I guess the issue is how much is left behind that's evidence, and that's the issue. And the fact that now our friends are furious. They're actually turning, I think this is actually putting President Trump in a terrible position, and it's really creating a problem that maybe doesn't need to be created. I want to just point out something else. This is Tucker speaking at TPUSA. It is related to what you just said a few minutes ago. This is clip 8.
And I think the real answer is Jeffrey Epstein was working on behalf of intel services, probably not American. And we have every right to ask, On whose behalf was he working? How does a guy go from being a math teacher at the Dalton School in the late 70s with no college degree to having multiple airplanes, a private island, and the largest residential house in Manhattan? Where did all the money come from? And no one has ever gotten to the bottom of that because no one has ever tried. And moreover, it's extremely obvious to anyone who watches that this guy had direct connections to a foreign government. Now, no one's allowed to say that that foreign government is Israel because we have been somehow cowed into thinking that that's naughty. There is nothing wrong with saying that. There is nothing hateful about saying that. There's nothing anti-Semitic about saying that. There's nothing even anti-Israel about saying that.
Yeah. So he throws this in the midst of all of his criticism of Israel. And he says in a different clip that I'm not going to play, he said, every person in D.C. knows that Epstein was connected to the Mossad. And I just want you to know, I talked to, you're going to hear from him, he's a friend of mine also, Derek Harvey, who was the chief investigator for Devin Nunes. He's highly regarded in D.C. And I can tell you that he says there is absolutely no evidence of that. There's no proof of that. That's just, everybody in Washington, D.C. does not believe that. And that on itself discredits Tucker when he makes those broad statements. And it makes people think that he has a thing about Israel based on the fact that he continues to loop their name into the worst kinds of things. Now, Bruce has already explained why maybe Epstein was connected to the Mossad. Maybe he was connected to the British intelligence services. But since Prince Andrew was regularly at the pedophile island, maybe that. Who knows? But you cannot say it is Mossad. You just can't do that. And that reminds me of one more thing here, Bruce, that I want to run by you. This is something Tucker said. My jaw dropped when he said this, and I want us to talk about it. This is clip 14.
I think anybody, by the way, who serves in a foreign military should lose his citizenship immediately. There are a lot of Americans who've served in the IDF. They should lose their citizenship. There's a lot of Americans who've served in Ukraine, and they should lose their citizenship. You can't fight for another country and remain an American, period.
All right, Bruce, I'm going to let you handle that one, Mr. Military Expert. Should you lose your citizenship if you fight for Israel or Ukraine?
Well, if you should, it has not happened in the past. Let's go back all the way to the Civil War. The soldiers who fought for the South, even men who had been members of the U.S. Army prior to the war and resigned and went to fight for the Confederacy, they were never stripped of their United States citizenship, even though, quote-unquote, they fought for another country. You go back to people who have joined the French Foreign Legion who are Americans and gone over and fought in wars. They have not been stripped of their citizenship. Probably the most famous ones were the Americans that fought on behalf of the French before we got involved in World War I. We had people that went over as pilots in the Lafayette Escadrille. That was way before the United States joined the war. Ernest Hemingway went and was an ambulance driver as part of the French Army. None of those people lost their citizenship. So I would say that I don't understand where Tucker's coming from. There have been mercenaries throughout history, and those people do not lose their citizenship of their home country.
You know, I was just thinking, Bruce.
I don't know why he's so hung up on that.
World War II, a lot of pilots from the United States went over to help the Brits because they had a shortage of pilots. So I guess, would you say the line would be if our American soldiers were fighting or people were going to volunteer to fight for enemies? Like if they joined the Chinese army or if they joined the Russian army during the Cold War, or that would be, but if they just, if they're a Jewish by birth, and they love the country from which they were born. And everybody that's foreign here still loves their, for the most part, loves their own country. And they were fighting for freedom. They are not fighting to hurt the United States.
You know, many people have dual citizenship.
But he has a problem with that.
And, you know, that's common all over the world. And so if you listen to Tucker, they would have to have their U.S. citizenship revoked. You know, I think history has shown us that us being isolationists is not a good policy. We can be very selective about what we become involved in and how we become involved in it, just like we're doing, I believe, in Iran right now. We do not have troops in Iran. We have ships in the seas off of Iran They are helping with the defense of Israel from missiles coming from Iran. They are there to provide intelligence for Israel. We do not have soldiers on the ground. We may have a very intense sharing of intelligence going on with Israel. But that's very different from sending troops in, which I think the hyperbole that Tucker is trying to stir up is that people like Ted Cruz, people like Donald Trump, people like Mark Levin want to get into a boots-on-the-ground, all-out war with Iran, China, and or Russia. And I just do not see the evidence of that.
No, I don't either. And I think to wrap up that part of our discussion, I would just say the problem is he has such a following. And the kids were applauding when he was saying some of these things. And they don't know history. They don't know history. And many of you might not know history. You know, you don't have to be an expert, but you need to know the basics. And I think that's what I'm trying to give you. When I did a whole show on Iran a couple of weeks ago, I wanted to just let you to understand why they are an enemy to us. We are their enemy. They hate us. They want to destroy us. Just because we haven't been fighting them doesn't mean that's not true. And just because we don't want that to be true doesn't mean it's not true. So these are things that you need to understand when you're listening, and listen with discernment. And I think right now is not a good time to take information from Tucker. I just don't think so.
Well, I think you take his premise, if we can go back a little bit, where he was outraged that Mark Levin would be against having a ceasefire between Israel and Iran. And there are many people that feel that way, because history has shown that when we fight someone like Iran, a country that openly chants for our death, death to America, death to the great Satan, that do not acknowledge our existence, that do not have a diplomatic relationship with us, they will not even talk to us. They haven't talked to us in a face-to-face conversation since 1979, when they took over our embassy. And to have someone like Israel, who is so threatened, both in actuality and potentially by Iran, that they should allow a ceasefire to occur, so that, you know, my feeling is when we allow these ceasefires with these kind of groups, we basically give them a chance to get up off the mat, dust themselves off, get resupplied by either China or Russia, get their house back in order, and then start right back in on their terrorist activities.
Yeah, yeah. You know what, Bruce?
And so to act like ceasefire is a terrible thing. I completely disagree.
You know, I was just thinking, you and I are watching that series from the History Channel on Ulysses S. Grant. He ended up being the commander in the Civil War of the Northern troops. And he happens to be a guy from Illinois, so we paid attention to him, he and Abraham Lincoln. But the thing that he was such a successful general because he wouldn't stop. He pressed until he was finished with the task. And that was one of the remarkable things about him. And even when his soldiers were tired, he didn't stop, and he didn't give the enemy time to regroup, yeah, which is what we're talking about.
He reminds me later of General Patton. He was the same way. He goes, the more we hesitate, the more people are going to lose their lives on our side.
Yeah.
We have to go, go, go. You get a hold of your enemy, and you just don't let go.
Well, we're going to do a whole show on Iran after that bombing this week. And so I would encourage people to make sure you tune into that. Bruce, let's take a break. And when we come back, there's one other thing that happened at that conference that I want people to hear, and it's actually pretty funny. So don't go away. This is Sandy Rios and my sweetheart, Bruce, on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Did you know that since Roe v. Wade was passed, and that was back in 1973, over 66 million babies have been aborted in the United States? That's nearly one in five pregnancies terminated. With the abortion pill now available at local pharmacies and through the mail, a woman's bathroom now has become the scene of the crime. And that's where she tragically expels her child. We have to stop this, and you know how to do that. Preborn is a master at saving these babies and their moms. Go to preborn.com/Sandy and make your most generous donation. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. Okay, so Bruce, down at the TPUSA conference in Florida last weekend, there were all kinds of celebrities. Pete Hegseth and Tucker Carlson and Steve Bannon and Donald Trump Jr. and Megyn Kelly and Greg Gutfeld and Laura Ingraham and Tom Homan. So Tom Homan is making a point about how the Biden administration actively sought to make immigration and customs enforcement's job harder by releasing migrants to non-governmental organizations at $500 per night, when there was space for many of them to be held at ICE facilities at a far cheaper price to taxpayers. And then he says, and I'm going to play a clip of some of the other things he says. He said, why did they do that? He asked the audience. Because they know if they're in ICE detention, they're getting a hearing within 40 days. 90% lose their cases, and they get sent home. That's not what they wanted. They're playing the long game. So at this point, a heckler stands up, and he's holding a very large picture of Tom Homan, which is showing an MS-13 photoshopped, the letters MS-13 photoshopped on his knuckles. And this is where the clip starts. Let's listen.
We left thousands of empty ICE beds at $127 a night, empty, thousands of them. They released them to NGOs at $500 a night. Why did they do that? Because they knew if they're in ICE detention, they get a hearing within 40 days, 90% lose their case, they get sent home. That is not what they wanted. They're playing the long game. Let's release them in the community. Wait 3 or 5 years. Pardon me?
Are you an MS-13 member?
Hey, that's okay. That's okay. I got a question. No. I got a question for you. Why don't you come up here and hand me that picture? Bring it. Bring it. USA. USA. All right.
USA! USA!
They got morons like this all over the country. This guy wouldn't know us like the surface nation. This guy ain't got the balls to be an ICE officer. He hasn't got the balls to be a Border Patrol agent. This guy lives in his mother's basement. The only thing that surprised me, you don't have purple hair and a nose ring. Get out of here, you loser. And you're such a badass, meet me off stage in 13 minutes and 50 seconds. I guarantee you, he sits down to pee. Guaranteed.
Okay, some of you have made a different response to that, but that was Tom Holman giving it to a demonstrator. Any thoughts about that statement?
Well, that's why Tom Holman is my hero. I know some people that might be a little strong language for him, but, you know, Tom Holman is a 63-year-old man. He's worked 40 years in immigration under Democrats, Republicans, all kinds of people, all kinds of Congresses. And he gets up every day and goes to work. And I mean, he goes to work like President Trump, all day, all night. And he, you know, the left is trying to make him out as some kind of ogre, strong man, you know, Nazi. And if you listen to Tom Holman, if you really listen, he's very well thought out. He understands the law. He operates according to the immigration laws. He also operates according to common sense, which is when we have ICE facilities that are specifically set up and have been funded and built to put people in while they await their hearings as to whether or not they should remain in this country, why did the Biden administration release these people back into the country and say, show up for your administrative hearing. It'll be, like he said, between 3 and 5 and sometimes as long as 7 years from now. Do you think any of those people ever showed up? No. That was just amnesty. No. That was another form of amnesty. And Tom Holman has had enough of it. He's using the law. Listen, they have warrants to pick up the people that they are arresting. They are not doing what the media is saying, where they just show up at a Home Depot where people are out front that are illegals that are trying to get jobs, fixing houses up for people. That is not true. And they are not just arresting people, as was said, because they're on a train and they look Hispanic or they speak Spanish to someone. That is not happening.
Yes. Well, he's a dynamo. And one thing I learned about him, Bruce, is that he can't even sleep with his wife in the same house, because the death threats are so great for him and his family, and so they have to take all these precautions. So, you know, if you might think the language is a little strong, you just have to remember the kind of pressure he's living under. And he's a brawler. He's a fighter. He's the kind of warrior that has helped make this country free. Those are the kinds of men. What did we play that song at the Army 250th? It's about a warrior song. It's about how they color outside of the lines. They walk on the edge, walking on the edge. Because you can't, you know, it's not like a Sunday school life or like a normal corporate life. It's a dangerous life, and you have to become very strong.
Tom Holman refuses to believe this subterfuge that the left puts out about immigration and then how they're picking on people that are, you know, not worthy targets, how they are hurting people. You know, the left already has all these things about alligator Alcatraz. They call it alligator Auschwitz. I'll tell you, if I was a Jewish person, especially if I was someone who had been in the Holocaust, I would be absolutely appalled to hear that kind of comparison. There are no death camps called alligator Alcatraz. There are no ovens in alligator Alcatraz. There are no gas chambers in alligator Alcatraz. People are fed there. They're housed there. They're given shelter. Yeah, there might be mosquitoes and it might be hot, but actually the guys were complaining that the tents that some of them are living in were too cold from the air conditioning. So I mean, this is, again, this is just a fallacy on the left. And this is a very efficient process, actually. There are administrative judges there. The cases of these people that think they have a right to remain here can be heard, and they can be heard immediately. And if you have a good reason to stay here, they'll be allowed to stay here. But if they don't, they're on the next plane.
Yeah, which makes me think, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. The overall thing of what we've been talking about today, I want all of us to remember the wonderful things that are happening to improve our lives here, to make us safer. You know, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Even Planned Parenthood, they're defunding Planned Parenthood. They're doing wonderful things. They are the economy. We actually ran a surplus last month. We ran a surplus because of what President Trump is doing. Gasoline prices are down. Grocery prices are down. Look, the point of that, not that it's not just, you can't boil it down to, gee, we have more money. No, you can take care of your families. You can have enough at the end of the month. You can have pursue happiness in all the best sense of the word. And that's happening. And also then they are sending illegal immigrants back to their homelands, which is where they belong. And that's going to have a huge effect on us economically. Also health care. They're dealing with health care through Robert F. Kennedy Jr., because if I open the phone lines, we would all talk about what the bad things we're seeing in our current health care system. They are beefing up our military so that the bad actors are kind of shrinking, because they understand that America, on some level, and God willing, on a really good level, is back. President Trump, last week, when he was comforting the families in Texas, talked to them about God and how those little girls are in the arms of Jesus. He sounded like an evangelist. Now, the only point I'm making is there's prayer being said at cabinet meetings. So, yes, the Epstein records seem to be missing at the moment, and there's a disconnect there. But honestly, we have to keep perspective, and so do our friends who are in the media. They've got to keep perspective and not be like gnats, you know, and causing dissension for the wrong reason. There needed to be dissension over whether we should intervene with Israel, because that's an existential threat to Israel and also to us, I have to tell you, even if you don't see it today. So that argument had to take place. But Jeffrey Epstein, I'm sorry. It's not an existential threat, and there are other things, the economy, for heaven's sake, the immigration, all of it has to be brought into some kind of order and control before we can worry about these other things. These are secondary issues, and that's my opinion of it. So, honey, thank you for joining me.
Well, and I know this was a hard show for you, honey, because Tucker Carlson is a personal friend of yours, and I think you're just concerned about him mainly. You're concerned that, you know, is he okay? And that's not for us to judge, but we do hope that he is okay and that things are the way they should be.
Yeah, I do. I am concerned about him. So anyway, I don't want to overstate my friendship. I've known him for years, but I don't want to overstate that. But yes, he is a friend. So is Dan Bongino. I know Dan better than I know Tucker. But these guys, look, they're on the front lines, and they're not immune from coloring outside of the lines. If they get stressed or something personal happens in their lives. And I don't know what's going on with Tucker, but I would just say to all of you, this is a good time to pray for those guys and pray for Dan and pray for Cash and pray for Pam Bondi and pray for President Trump, that God would give them strength and would sort this out and that this dust up. And by the way, as I understand it, Bruce, you told me yesterday you were listening to Vince Colonnaise, who you and I both love, and he was reporting that there seems to be some peace made with Dan and with the president and that whole situation. So that's good news as we close. All right, honey, enough today. Thank you for listening. Oh, not you for listening, Bruce. I thank you for listening, but I'm talking to my audience. Thank you for joining me, and for my audience, thank you for listening. And I want to remind you that we couldn't do this without our sponsors, and one of those is Timothy Plan. And they help you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. All right, that's it for today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.